Okay, pull up your bootstraps and hang on, because we'll get through this morning with our message. And everything's been good this morning. And while we're here to worship the Lord. And this morning, our message is going to be the unforgiven servant or slave, which is another parable of the Bible. Jesus spoke these words, and they're very, very significant to us. And it's talking about forgiveness, being willing to forgive. And we're going to see in these scriptures this morning, one was willing to forgive, the other one was not. And who forgive us of our sins and give us eternal life? Well, that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus was referring to this. And this is important. Message for those of that time, the disciples and those that were around Jesus that day when this question arose, and Peter stepped right up and give his point of view about how many times should we forgive someone. Well, Jesus gives us the answer to that. So if you'll join me with Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21. And it is, again, talking about forgiveness. Verse 21, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. If you kind of multiply that, I believe that comes out to 490, but that's just a figurative number that Jesus used, okay? Because you're supposed to give over and over and over forgiveness, okay? Then verse 23, for this reason the kingdom of heaven, there it is, for this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves or servants. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and the children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave or the servant fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion. Jesus had compassion. And released him forgave him the debt. Verse 28, but the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owned him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So the fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went on and threw himself into prison until he should pay back what he owed. In verse 31, and when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I have forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave or servant in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. And then Jesus says, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from the heart. John Oglethorpe was talking to John Wesley one time, and he made a statement, says, "I never forgive. I never forgive." Which in reply to that, John Wesley said, "Then, sir, I hope that you never sin." Well, he just made an awesome sin when he said he would not forgive, because that is a sin if we don't forgive. So here this morning, there's some questions that we might have. What does it cost us personally? How can we have our debt dismissed? Or what happens if the debt is not dismissed? And these are the questions I want us to be willing to answer today, and as, through this parable itself. So first of all, let's look at Peter. He demonstrated generosity here. He was being generous in his statement to the Lord. So it's highly unlikely that Jesus was angry with Peter. Peter's question is concerning how many times someone should be forgiven. And maybe you've asked yourself this same question. You know, somebody maybe have offended you or done you wrong, and that's been haunted you for years and years and years. And maybe, and sometimes, you know, I've heard people say, "I can forgive, but I won't what? Forget." Well, is that really forgiving? That's something that we have to come grips to. So in fact, his suggestion to forgive up to seven times, that's what Peter said, forgive seven times, was quite generous compared to the standard forgiveness set forth in the law. According to Amos 1:6, I looked at this verse, and the Jewish law was three times. Now, if you read that scripture, it'll say if someone offended or done something against you the first time, you forgive them. If they do it again the second time, you forgive them. If you do it a third time, according to Amos 1:6, you forgive them. If they do it the fourth time, nope. That's it. Now, that's in the Old Testament law. Now, Jesus puts a different perspective on in the New Testament about forgiving. So you might think that Peter was being especially generous in his pronouncement here for forgiveness up to seven times. And I think he tried to impress Jesus with his answer. And he likely pleased with Peter. However, Jesus sought to clarify the standard of forgiveness to the law of love. See, there's a big difference. The law of love. If you really love someone, or if you really love Jesus Christ and understand his compassion in life and how Jesus approached people and looked at them. I mean, he went to the cross and died for sins of the world. That was great love. That was great compassion for each one of us. It was a sin debt that you and I cannot pay. The wages of sin is debt, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, according to the scriptures. So Jesus said, "I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times. And as I stated a while ago, when he stated forgiveness up to 70 times seven, that's 490 times. Jesus was using a figurative language to convey a spiritual truth. The spiritual truth Jesus is wanting Peter to understand and those around with listening ears, that, you know, I forgave all people, the world, of their sins. And that's why Jesus said, as we were sinning, as we continue in our sin, I was still forgiving you, past, present, future. And Jesus saying, you know, if you love me, than you are to love one another. And if they sincere, and that's why the Bible says from the heart. Forgiveness comes from the heart. It's just not a something in our mind that, okay, yeah, I'll forgive you. Well, that's kind of shallow, isn't it? But when it comes from the heart, and sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? It is difficult when you are confronted with some unruthfully situations and people in this world today. It is hard. And we have a lot of people who have spiritual needs because they're not forgiving in their heart. And sometimes we just gotta understand from Jesus' standpoint, he forgave us, and we need to look at forgiveness in his perspective. Okay, let's move on to see he who owed much. In verses 23 through 27 here, Jesus shared this parable in order to reinforce God's standard of forgiveness. And that's what this whole parable is set around, is forgiveness. He spoke of a king, and he was using this as an example so people could understand. He was speaking to Christians. He was speaking to his disciples, those who had the Spirit of God within their heart. Now, and he wasn't speaking to those unbelievers because they wouldn't have understood anyway. And that question came up to Jesus. Who are you speaking these parables to? And Jesus clarified that he was speaking to those who were followers of him. So this king represents God's almighty rule of heaven and earth. If you look deep within the scriptures, and you can see that God Almighty is the ruler of heaven and earth. And there was also a servant and his master. And that's what Jesus was using for example here. The servant owed non-repayable debt to the king, which represents how all humanity brings beings owe a debt to the Lord for their sins. We owe Jesus Christ a lot because he paid the sin debt for all. That's why the wages of sin is death. And it started in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? That's where it started. And we can't blame Adam and Eve totally for what they did because we follow suit. Sin entered the world. Satan was incorporated in that, confusing and misguiding Adam and Eve in their decision not to eat the fruit of the of good and knowledge. And they did, and therefore we also are guilty as well. So the master represents Jesus Christ, who will execute judgment in the final day on those whose debt has remained unpaid or not forgiven. Now, Jesus is the righteous judge. As we stand before him one of these days, and he points any unconfessed sin in a Christian's life, if he points it out, we'll stand there before a righteous God, and we will say, yes, you're right. We'll do it with shame, regret, probably in our lives, but you know, when God, Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, looks at us with compassion and love, which will melt our hearts, you know, that's what will actually melt our hearts. Looking at Jesus, when he points these things out in our lives, as Christians, the things that maybe will be judged according to what we've done and not done, have not done. Sinners will be judged according to their sins, but we will be judged according to what we've done, not done, in his name. So one of these days, we will stand before him. Now, verse 24 shows how a servant who owed 10,000 talents was brought to the king, here in these 15 verses I just read. And understanding of the value of the measures listed in this parable will help unravel the spiritual application that Jesus is laying before us. There's a spiritual application here, and it revolves around forgiveness. Are we forgiven or unforgiven in our relationship? So the man with whom the king wished to settle the account owed him 10,000 talents. Now, back then, that's a lot. And to put that in a kind of perspective, which was 16 times more than the imperial taxes of Judea. That's a lot. That was a lot then. It's a lot now for then. Probably even more now. And 50 times, excuse me, more than the imperial taxes of Galilee at that time. Because, you know, remember Mary and Joseph had to go back to Egypt, pay their taxes and so forth, and there was quite a few then. So the servant whom the king had brought before him owed the king's ransom. So now, as we look in verse 25, this reveals the master's commanded that the servant's wife, his children, and everything that he owed to be sold. Now, nevertheless, the lives of his family members were not worth the debt that he had accumulated. So he was in big trouble, big trouble. Now, here is the difference between this king forgiven and the other one. From this, it would have taken the average man over what I calculated here, 166,000 years of labor, more than life that he had, or earned this amount of wealth, which he couldn't have done it. It was far beyond his capability. Now, all people owe debt to the Lord that cannot be paid. We owe the Lord more than we can pay it. Why? Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Christ died once and for all the world. We couldn't have done that, or would we? Who would give their only begotten son, only son, for the world? Only the Father gave his son. We owe our very lives because we all have sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, again, I want to reemphasize that, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. These two scriptures are a part of the Roman road. These two scriptures are perfect in talking to a lost person to help them understand they need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ came into the world, died for our sins, because we cannot pay the sin debt. Only Christ, once and for all, the new Adam, the old Adam, could not do it. Jesus being the new Adam, which is the sacrificial lamb for the world, paid our price. All right, let's move on to C, he who owed little. Now, the servant who had been forgiven a non-repayable debt went out, asked one of his own debtors to settle up. This is where Jesus is going with this forgiveness. Why do you believe this is wrong? Something's wrong with this picture, isn't there? A lot different than the first one and this one. This truth is reinforced by the parable of the canceled debt. In Luke chapter 7, verse 41, Jesus spoke this parable when he said, "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 5,000 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both." Now this is here in Luke 7. I'm in Matthew chapter 18. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? Okay, Peter's right here with the answer again, right? Peter, you know, he had all the answers, didn't he? And that's good. Oh, Peter, he was always thinking. He was a thinker. He didn't always say the right thing, do we? Sometimes we think, well, we speak before we think. But Peter answered and said in verse 43, I suppose the one whom he forgave more, and he said to him, you have rightly judged. He got that one right, right? Because Peter was listening. I think he had his mind so set on what Jesus was saying that he was thinking through this process, and he gave the right answer. Now, the Lord gives us a choice. He gives us a choice to forgive for our debt of sin. And see, this is where all of this is going. It's going to forgiveness, a sin that we cannot pay. And Jesus used this parable to emphasize the importance of forgiveness. Forgiveness among mankind, forgiveness of the divine presence of God who sent his Son into this world. So he gives us a choice to ask forgiveness for our debt of sin and to have that debt paid through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ made on the cross. Now, if God decided to go ahead and place us into eternal confinement, we would never have a chance to ask for forgiveness. And that's according to Luke chapter 16, verse 26. A person needs to ask forgiveness while he or she or you and I are still alive and living. We don't have a second chance after that. And that's what Jesus is emphasizing, the importance of forgiveness among one another, and especially our sin debt to him. He paid the price. Okay, finally, extended the same courtesy right here, verse 31 through 35. This man who had been forgiven a lot was unable to forgive his debtors. He didn't have the love of Christ abiding in him. And see, that's the whole picture here. That's what Jesus said. He didn't have my love within him. He wasn't thinking of compassion. He wasn't thinking of the love that I have for the world. Now, how do we know that he didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? How do we know that? Well, it's pretty evident. But in 1 John chapter 4, 7 and 8, John says, and this kind of clarifies what I'm asking here or saying on this point, where John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And then verse 8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for what? God is love. So put this in a whole perspective right here. This man didn't have enough love to forgive his fellow servant. Therefore, he did not have the love of God or dwell in God. So if this man truly knew the Lord, then the executors could not have touched him, but they did. All right, in conclusion, I know I've went through this pretty quickly, and I'm hoping you get the whole scope and picture of what this parable is teaching us here this morning about forgiveness. But this parable reveals that we have a debt that cannot be repaid. We owe the Lord our very life because we have sinned against him. That's what Jesus is saying here. But you know, God is full of love. He's full of forgiveness. And if we ask forgiveness from the Lord, then the Lord will pay our debt. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He paid that debt. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. See, our debt is paid only when we believe in Jesus Christ. See, Jesus paid it all. Isaiah 53:5 tells us that in the Old Testament. That is a wonderful chapter to read. It talks about Isaiah, God speaking a revelation to Isaiah, something that had not taken place yet, but that was coming in the future. And now Jesus is talking about this very thing that Isaiah was already proclaiming back years and years ago, that Jesus was going to pay the price for the sins of the world. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died on a cross for our sins, who rose from the grave in order to conquer sin and death, that we might have eternal life. Isn't that a great forgiveness? There's no other forgiveness than that of Jesus Christ. And the two commandments that the Lord gave us was to love him with all the heart, soul, and mind. And the second greatest was to love one another and to forgive. As hard as it is sometimes, you know, with the evil and things within this world, the mindset of a lot of people in this world, individuals or beings, human beings, however you want to use the term, need to look at God's word, where John said, you know, God first loved us. We need to love and forgive. It's tough, isn't it? But it wasn't that hard for Christ, was it? He did it freely and joyfully. Thank God he did, because he's the righteous judge and he will have the last say so in the end. Praise God. Let's pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. May we likewise be willing to look down deep inside, first of all, at ourselves, relationship with you. We must have a personal relationship with you. And Lord, that changes the whole perspective of our outlook in life when we have that personal relationship. There's not a whole lot we can do outside ourselves with someone else, because you work with them individually just like you do with us individually. But we can pray for one another that hearts will be changed, that their spirit will be open and be teachable by your word. And by prayer of intercession, that we pray for others who has a mindset or a thought that doesn't please you, or their actions and conduct are contrary to your teaching. And that's the exact thing that Jesus is teaching us here in the parable. Anyone here today listening, Lord, or those live listening, Lord, only you know our hearts, along with our Savior. May we be willing to yield, surrender our total life to you. And however, Lord, that we need to release the things within our lives and give them to you that's not pleasing you, that will hinder our relationship with you. Lord, in this song, Lord, as your Spirit speaks and as your Spirit moves, may we move to the aisle, to the front, to the altar, and give our life in full surrender to you. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen.